Good morning. Today's Daven Yomah's paid dollar. We aren't paying a moment base. We are three lines on the bottom. Mishnah Shchol Kelv Shota. We pick up in the Mishnah describing someone who is getting bitten by a rabid dog. And what should you do under those circumstances? So the Mishnah has a bit of an experimental drug, and that is to take the liver of the dog and to serve it up to the person that was bitten by the rabid dog. And it's basically a... this is obviously well before inoculation came up as a topic, but this is basically an ancient form of inoculation, taking the liver of the dog introducing some of that bacteria. But that's a medical discussion well beyond my scope, my knowledge. But anyway. But what is within my scope of knowledge is that Tanaim disagree in terms of whether or not you could use it. So, if you go back to the Mishnah, go back to Pegim Omen Aleph, and Mishnah Ashkel Kalv Shota, and if you're bitten by a wild dog, so according to the Tanakhama, so you don't use this practice, right? And as Rashi points out back in the Mishnah, it is not a refuah gemura. It is not a kind of therapeutic that's gone through trials and went through all phases, phase one, phase two, phase three. It hasn't gone through those trials. And so therefore you shouldn't do it. And Rav Masya ben Charish says it's fine. It's perfectly fine. Rashi in the Mishnah said it is a refuah gemura. Okay. With all that stated as an introduction, and by the way, why are we here? Because we've been discussing pikuach nefesh, meaning here in the eighth perek, as now we're winding down and we're heading to the end of the mesechta, so we're talking about various pikuach nefesh scenarios, and the reason why is because on Yom Kippur, if you are in a position where there is pikuach nefesh, fasting is causing you a possible real threat to your health. So then you're allowed to eat, and not only just you, but if the woman's pregnant, and even if it's posing a threat to her fetus, so you're allowed to eat, and this is what we've been discussing now for the past number of days, so that's why we got into this topic of pikuach nefesh. With that in mind, Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Chamisha Dvarim Nemru Bekalv Shota, so we could say five things regarding this rabid dog, the wild dog that's about to eat you. That bites you. So Pipasuach, its mouth is open, Viriro no teeth. And it's got saliva coming out of its nose, or saliva, mucus, whatever. Aznav Sruchos, something is with its ears. Rashi says it's basically folded over. Znav Omunach Al Yakosav, its tail's hanging on its legs. Umahalch Betzide Derachim, and it's not going to be walking in the center of the road, but rather on the side of the road. V'yeshom Remaf Noveach Vein Kol Nishma. It's going to bark, but you can't hear the bark. Mimai Have, the Gemara wants to know exactly what happened, meaning why did this dog turn into a rabid dog? What happened? So Rav Amar Noshim Kash Fanios Misachos Ba Ushmol Amar Ruchra Shara Lov. So Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. So Rav says sorcery. Basically what you have is you have these witches practicing their incantations, and basically, you know, they're playing with the dog, practicing their incantations on the dog. So the dog basically was a result of some bad magic that went bad. So, and Shmuel says no. Ruch ra. Basically what happened is that there's shadim everywhere, and a shade attached itself to a dog, and that's the explanation of how you got to this rabid dog. So maybe now you come and ask. So the Gemara says, okay. Now in terms of nafkamina, there's going to be an actual nafkamina between Rav and Shmuel. As we turn to the top of Pedam and Aleph. Le mikdalei bedavar and Izrak. So should you shoot an arrow at it? And as Rashi points out over here, Laman damaruch rasho alav lo yikrav. It's lahargo biadaim. Elazorg brochets or sakin vahargo. So if in fact this is an issue of ruach ra, where a shade attached itself to the dog, so you want to be nowhere near that dog. Because what the shade's going to do is that the shade's going to detach himself from the dog and attach himself to you. So when you want to kill that dog, so what you're going to do is you're going to shoot an arrow at it, throw a stone at it. And that's if you subscribe to shadim, meaning not shadim in general, but shadim specific here, meaning that the dog was attached to by a shade. On the other hand, if you go with Rav, that this is all kishuf. So by kishuf, the kishuf is not going to rub off on you. And you can kill the dog. You don't have to be so far away. You can be right up there, close and personal, and kill the dog right there. Tanya Kavasi de Shmuel, the Gemara quotes a bright, so that is certainly going to be supportive of Shmuel's position. Kishar Organoso and Organoso, Ella Bedavar Hanizrak. So when you kill the dog, so what you should do is you should shoot an arrow at it. Dechayv be mistakein. If you rub up against the dog, you are going to be in trouble. And the nachis lay mace. And if the dog bites you, so you're for sure, you're a goner. In other words, there's nothing you can do, although in just a moment, we're going to point out there is something you could do, but we'll get to that in just a moment. So dechayv be mistakein my tekante. So, if the dog rubs up against you, again, this brisa clearly subscribes to Shmuel, that the problem over here is that there's a shade, that attached itself to a dog. And it rubbed up against you, so now there's a chance that the shade rubbed up against you and detached from the dog and attached to you. And now you have a shade basically stuck to you. So what do you do? So, my tekante. So, nishloch mane, v'niharet. So what you should do is that you should quickly remove all your clothing, and you should run. And Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua, Chav Bei, Chad Minayu, Beshoka, the Gemara tells a Maisa, Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua had a dog, actually, one of these rabid dogs, rub up against him, out in the Shuk, Shachun Lamanei, Virai, so he threw out his clothing, and he started running. Amar Kiyamti Batsme, Chachmati Chaye, Ba'alaha, this pasuk that we've quoted already a couple of times here, in this eighth parak in Koheles, that if you're wise and you're knowledgeable and you basically know this kind of chachma, so you're going to be good. In other words, you're going to survive as a result of it. It's good to have this kind of knowledge. It's great survival techniques. Now, if you get bitten by it, says the Bryce, you're going to die. And then the Gemara says, okay, so is there something you could do? Meaning, is there a possibility that you could survive? So the Gemara says, yeah, there is a possibility. And here's what you do. Am Rabbi Neisamashcha da'apa, de dichra, so what you're going to do is you're going to take the skin of a cat, right? A specific type of cat. And what you're going to do is that you're going to write the following incantation. And that is, Ana Panaya Bar Palnisa. I'm so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, right? Seems like you're going to be putting your mother's name in, not your father's name. But anyway, so Amashcha de Apa Dechra. And you're going to write it down on the skin of this cat. Kasivna alach kanti kanti kiloris, and now you write the incantation, and I'm not in a position where I can explain the incantation. I don't understand it. Varmila, so some have the incantation slightly variant form. Kanadi kanadi kiloris ka 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 shem tzvakos amen amen sala. Okay, so in terms of the incantation that you're writing down on the skin, the only thing I recognize is that you're writing a couple versions of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. And Amen. And Sela. Anyway, Veneshachinu Lamanu Lukavrinu Bekavri. And so what you should do is take off your clothing and bury your clothing. Bury it for a year. Atresa Yarche Shasa. Okay, so for 12 months, which is a full year. Venefkinu Venaklinu Betanura. Then what you're going to do is you're going to burn an oven. Venivdirinu Lekitme. Our precious Drachim. Take the ashes and spread them out on the crossroad. Vahanach Tresa Yarche Shasa. And for those 12 months, kisha sumaya, whenever you drink that water, lo lishtei ela begufta denechasha. Make sure to use a straw, right? A metal straw. But don't look directly into the water, dilmachaza bevoa deshida. Because what you're going to do is that you have a shade now attached to you, possibly. And if you look in water, you're going to see the reflection, you're going to see the shade. So don't look in the water. Velistakein, because if you see the shade, so then now you're going to be in serious danger. Kihada Abba Barmata, and the Gemara also follows this up with a story as well. Abba Barmata hu Abba Benyuma Avdele Ima Guvta de Dahava. And what his mother did is his mother prepared from a straw so that he could drink from a straw, never having to look actually in the liquid itself, perhaps seeing the reflection, did not want to do that. And so his mother took care of him in that regard. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Gemara section regarding getting bitten by a rabid dog. What exactly is the concern? Meaning, what's the concern? How did the dog become rabid? And how should you exterminate the dog? If getting rubbed up against, how should you deal with it? If in fact you got bitten by the dog, how should you deal with it? Okay, a lot of eitzes in the Gemara, which quite frankly this is all well out of our arena and our department. Okay, but that was the first part of the daf. Ve'od amar Reb Masya. Rav Yochanan chash b'tzafidna. So Rav Yochanan had tzafidna. So we're going to be discussing a lot now this kind of ailment called tzafidna. What is tzafidna? So it's kind of hard to say. But it certainly sounds a lot like scurvy. In a minute, the Gemara is going to be describing basically how you're bleeding from your gums, right? You're chewing on something and all of a sudden you're just bleeding slightly uncontrollably from your gums. Okay, so could very well be something similar to scurvy. But anyway, regardless, so Rav Yochanan suffered from this ailment. So Avdalei Milsa. So he went to a matron. Okay, so there was this woman. Rashi over here writes that this woman, So Rashi says that she wasn't Jewish, right? Rashi's above where we are in the Gemara. All right, she was a non-Jew. You'll see in a moment why that's an important piece of information. So anyway, so he's suffering terribly from this ailment, and she's going now to this, you know, she's some sort of practitioner. Exactly what I don't know, but doesn't matter. Anyway, so she had a chachma, and so Rav Yochanan went to her for how to handle this. So what she did is that she put some sort of compound together, and the instructions were as follows: Avdalei Milsa Chamisha Malei Shabasa. And what he was supposed to do now is take this compound on Thursday and on Friday. So Amar Lo B'Shabbos Mai. And so now Rav Yochanan says to the woman, "Look, this is a really serious illness, and I really appreciate you you giving me the compound, the medication for Thursday, Friday. I really do appreciate it. What if I need it on Shabbos? Is there anything you could do for that?" So Amar Lei Lo Tzrichi. So she first says, "Look, you're going to be fine. I gave you 2 days worth, you're going to be fine." So, Mr. Rechamai. Okay, but I still may need it on Shabbos, and you're going to be here, and I'm going to be home, and I won't be able to come here on Shabbos. Now, if it's a Kadosh Nefesh, so of course he's able to come on Shabbos, but what he's trying to do, and it will become clear in just a moment, is basically he wants a secret formula. Meaning he wants to know exactly how this medication is compounded, and he's going to get that information out of her. And as we're going to see, by the way, he's going to be a little bit sleight of hand. In terms of how he gets the medication out of her, and he does end up getting the medication out of her, and the Gemara is going to ask the question, and he promises her that he won't share it with anybody, and then he shares it with the whole world. Okay, just if I can give away the upcoming Gemara, and the Gemara is going to ask the question, isn't that a chilul Hashem? So all this coming up, so Amr leishtavili delo magli. So she says to him, "Look, I'll tell you how to put the compound together, but do me a favor. You're not going to share that with anyone, right?" So Ishtavel Alad Yisrael, and he swears to Kadosh Baruch Hu that he will not share that information. Lo Maglina, Nafik Darsha Bepirka. And then once he gets that information, he darshans it. And he feels that this should be public information, and this should not be private information. This is how to cure people. And he felt that nobody should be having a monopoly over this kind of information. And so he shares it with everybody. Vaha Ishtavel Alad Yisrael. So the Gemara says, okay, but he swore that he wasn't going to do that. So the Gemara says, ha ishtabala. So the Gemara says, la lakad yisrael lo maglina. Ha la amo yisrael maglina. So the Gemara says, well, if you listen carefully to what he said, what he really said and meant is that I won't share with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what I won't do. But with other people, with Klal Yisrael, I'll share with them. Now, that's fancy footwork, and that's nifty in terms of how to reinterpret a shvua, but clearly he knew that's not how she understood it. And the Gemara says, "V'ha'ika chilul Hashem." So the Gemara says, now over here, obviously there is an element of chilul Hashem, meaning he swore to her that he wasn't going to reveal to anybody. And yes, you could reinterpret his shvua, but when all said and done, her understanding of the shvua is that he is not going to reveal to other people, and meanwhile he did, and that would represent the chilul Hashem. And by the way, the Gemara is asking, isn't this Chilul Hashem, despite the fact, consider the amount of good that came out from all this. Meaning that you now have a working treatment of how to deal with Safidna, which a lot of people were suffering from. And this is going to be serving as a public good. But meanwhile, the Gemara says it's a Chilul Hashem. And if it's a Chilul Hashem, it's not going to justify, what he did. So the Gemara says, okay, the magli la mi'ikara. So the Gemara says that what Rav Yochanan told her well in advance is that, look, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to share this information with other people. Meaning he didn't hide that information from her. He was upfront with her from the beginning that he was going to share that information. It's kind of hard to understand. What was the dialogue between them back and forth? Meaning what was the shvu? He said that he's not going to share it. When meanwhile he said he is going to share it. So I admit that I don't fully understand how it is that he swore to her that he wasn't going to share it, and she accepted the shvua, even though he told her in advance that he's going to share this information. Okay, that part gets choppy. However, the Gemara says that that's exactly he was upfront with her that he was going to share the information, and v'kachaya, and in fact he did. Now in my avdalei, so the Gemara now wants to know. So okay, so new. So now that he had the big secret that he shared to everybody, so would you mind sharing it to the reader? Like us, like we'd love to know what exactly it was. So Am Ravacha Brid Ravami Mesa or Shemin Zayis Umelach. Okay, so the Gemara says that basically what we're looking at is sourdough, but not just sourdough, the liquid portion of the sourdough. Okay. Right, some form of yeast in its liquid form, and olive oil and salt. Rav Yemer Amar Saor Gufei. According to Rav Yemer, he had a slightly different version of what this compound was. Use the actual sourdough itself. Shemen Zayis Umelach. Rav Ashi Amar Mashcha De Gadfa De Avza. According to Rav Ashi, you're not. My guess is that probably substituting the olive oil, and instead he's using the fat of a goose. Amar Abaya Arna Avdi Lekula Velo Istai. So Abaya says, look, I tried many versions of this compound. It didn't do it for me. Ad Amar Li Ataya, but then an Arab came over to me. I say, Kashisa Dezesa. What he did is not the olives, but the pit of the olive. Delamal Tilsa. The olive was not fully ripened. It didn't even get to a third. Vikalina Benura. And what I did is I burnt it in a fire. Amra. The Kalina Benura Imra Chadata, and I burned it in fire, and I put it together with a new piece of wool, and the Idbik Bikache Dare, and then what I did is I stuck it to my teeth, and Abdi Hachi Vitzai, and I did all this, and that healed. So Mimai Hava, how do you get it? Meaning, how are you introducing this kind of illness onto you? So the Gemara says, "Mechame, mechame, medechite," either biting on wheat, or mishuyu rekasa daharsina, or fish hash and eating on that. So my simane. So the Gemara says, and what symptoms are there? So kadrami midi bekachya vasodama mi bedari. So what happens is that you chew on something, you start bleeding from your gums. Okay, fine. Rav Yochanan kichash bitzafidna. Rav Yochanan, who suffered from Safidna. I know the second time we're hearing this today about Rav Yochanan and his battle with Safidna, but what he did is that he did the treatment on Shabbos, Ve'itzei, and he was healed. Rav Yochanan, Hechi Avid Hachi, Am Rav Nachem, Ba'itzak, Shani Safidna, Ho, Mischo Bepeh, Ve'gomer Bivnei Maim. Now, the Gemara's point over here is as follows. He did it on Shabbos. The Gemara says, is it a real Sakana? And the Gemara's answer is, yeah, it's a real sakana. Meaning, even though bleeding from the gums, you don't think that that's something that's sakana's nefashos. The Gemara says, yeah, but it's the kind of thing where you see it starting in the mouth, but what it's going to end up doing is it's going to move to the stomach and it's going to really affect the entire GI tract. And this is a serious illness. And if you can get it early, so you're going to get it early. And if you're going to get it early on Shabbos, that's great. So Amalei Rabbi Chabar Abila Rabbi Yochanan Keman Kerav Yasa Kerabbi Masya Ben Charash. So the Gemara says now this position Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan treated this Safidna. He treated it on Shabbos. He felt that it was a sakana. And so the Gemara now wants to know Rabbi Yochanan was following whose position. So that's the Gemara's discussion, and the Gemara is going to spend a little bit of time now trying to figure out which Tana is he subscribing to. So is he subscribing to the sheet of Rav Masih ben Charash Amar Choshesh Befiv Matil Lo Sam B'Shabbos, that somebody who's got some sort of ailment in his mouth so he could put medicine in on Shabbos despite the fact that there's an Isser of not using medicine on Shabbos, but that's when it is that's when the person is a mild chola. But over here, however, according to Rav Masih ben Charash, he feels that this is not a mild chola, but this is a real chola. So Amalei Shani Omer Bezuv Lo Ba'acheres. So he says no. In other words, this is not just the opinion of Rav Masih ben Charash, but rather this is the opinion of the Chachamim. And even though the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Masih ben Charash, but not on this particular case, on another case. And Lema Mesayele. And the Gemara now is going to spend a lot of time going over the idea that this is not just the sheet of Rabbi Masih ben Charash, but this is the sheet of the Chachamim as well. So the Gemara says as follows, Mishach, so Yirakon. So let's say somebody's got jaundice. Machin lo so basar chamor. So jaundice, very serious, and the way to treat it is basically to eat donkey meat. Now, obviously it's not kosher, but okay. But it's a sakana. Mishach, Ashkel, Kel, Shote, if you're bitten by a wild dog, machin lo so mechatzu kavishalo. So what you're going to do is you're going to eat the liver of that dog. And vachoshesh b'fiv matil lo sam b'shabbes. And somebody who's got this this pain in his mouth, so he's allowed to take medicine for that pain in his mouth. Divrei Rabbi Masir ben Charash. And all this is the opinion of Rabbi Masir ben Charash. So if you're following now this brisa, there are three different types of treatments of therapeutics that are described in this brisa. And v'chachamim omrim be'elu in be'elu ein be'mishum refuah. So, and the Chachamim say, no, with these, there is no refuah. Meaning the Chachamim argue, and they say that this is not a therapeutic, it just simply is not a, it is not a proven therapy. Again, it hasn't gone through the trials, and therefore they're not going to be good. So, be'elu limute mai. So the Gemara says now, when the Chachamim said, these are not therapies. So there were three mentioned by Rabbi Masya. So, and when the Chachamim said, these are not therapies, what was he making reference to? So, my love, lemutesam. So, over here, what it must be describing is that it was a clear rejection of two and three, but they didn't reject one. That's what the Gemara now is suggesting. So, the Gemara says, lo, lemute, mekizan dan lesarunche. So, the Gemara says, no, actually, they were rejecting every therapy that was mentioned by Rabbi Masya, all three of them. And what the Chachamim, when they said, Ela, so what they meant to say is that these are not therapies, but something else, which is somewhat controversial. No, that's a good therapy. And that is Hakasa Saddam for Sirunchi. Sirunchi, another type of ailment, which again, I don't know its modern version. I don't know if it has a modern version, but whatever. So what they would do is bloodletting. And according to the Chachamim, the bloodletting for Sirunchi, that is a proven therapy. That's what they accepted. So Hachinami Mistaber Tanya. So Gemara says, and I'll tell you what. I think that's a correct shot because consider we now have a brisa shloshet dvar mam Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi Shishama Mishum Rabbi Masya ben Charash. So here and now in the second brisa that we're describing various types of quote unquote experimental therapies. So we have Rabbi Shmuel quoting Rabbi Masya, and the therapies go as follows: Ma'akiz and damla serunchi b'Shabbes. So you could bloodlet for serunchi and mishen ashkokelav shotemachilas amechatzur kaveh shelo. You had the therapy of eating the liver of the dog that you were bitten by. And number three, vachoshesh b'piv matil lo sam b'Shabbes. And if you got an ache in your mouth, so you can put in medicine on Shabbos. V'chachamim omrim be'ilu ein b'em mishum refuah. And the Chachamim said, these are not proven therapies. Now, be'ilu l'mutei mai. So when they say, these are not proven therapies, so my love, I talked to Basraisa. U'l'mutei d'resha. So presumably what they mean is that these, meaning two and three of this b'resha, are not considered a proven therapy, but number one is considered, in fact, a proven therapy. And that would mean now that the bloodletting for Sirunchi is okay, meaning that the Chachamim are happy with, but the liver of the liver of the rabid dog, and what was number three? And having the pain in the mouth, and having drugs, having some sort of medication for the pain in the mouth, that the Chachamim said no. So the Gemara says, lo. No. Atarte deresha. Kamaisa. So the Gemara says, now, when the Chachamim were saying that's not a therapy, what the Chachamim were describing are one and two. Ule ma'ute de seifa. And actually, they were kind of comfortable with number three. Okay, so right now, we know, here's what we know for sure. Rabbi Masya was much more open-minded regarding various experimental drugs. And we know that the Chachamim were more conservative in terms of which drugs were proven and efficacious, and which drugs were not. That's when we know for sure. What we're trying to figure out in this now, it's a pretty long discussion, is that when Rav Yochanan, he had tzafane, and he used this quote-unquote experimental medication, was that within the sheet of Rabbi Masya, or was that even within the sheet of the Chachamim? And what we now have gone through is not one, but two separate brisas, where we see a debate. Rabbi Masya lists three different types of controversial therapies, and the Chachamim said no, right? These are no good, which means that there is something on the bubble which is acceptable. And what we're wondering now is whether or not the Chachamim are—they certainly argue with the liver, meaning that we know for sure, and we knew that already since the Mishnah yesterday's daf. The dog liver was for sure controversial, and we know the Chachamim did not accept it. What we are not sure about is whether or not the Chachamim accepted the therapy that was used by Rav Yochanan for Tzafidna. That we're not sure about, and that's what we're trying to figure out. Now, Tzafidna is only an ailment of the mouth, But what Rav Yochanan was arguing is, yeah, but it starts in the mouth and it goes to the stomach. And is that a Rav Masya idea, or is that even the Chachamim? And so now we turn to the Amud Beis of today's daf, Tashma. And we're still on the same topic. So Dini Rabba Bar Shmuel, Uber She'iricha Machilna So Asha Tashav Nafsha. So we're going back to our Mishnah, meaning we went through a couple of braces now. We head all the way back to our Mishnah, and let's remind ourselves. The Mishnah taught us that you have a pregnant woman, and she smells something, and now she developed a craving. So Machilna So Asha Tashav Nafsha. So what you're going to do is you're going to feed her. In other words, right now she's at risk, her fetus is at risk. So you're going to feed her until she's calmed down, she's settled down. And then, I'm sorry, by the way, I say it's our Mishnah. I was wrong. It's a Braisa. But it's very similar to our Mishnah. Okay? So, and the Braisa says that the, someone bitten by a wild dog, so you're going to feed its liver. And Vachoshish Bifi Matin Lo Sam B'Shabbos Divrei Rav Laz Rav Yosef Shamar Mishum Rav Masi Ben Charish. And finally, number three of this Raisa is that if you have some sort of ailment in your mouth, so you're going to be taking the drug and it's going to really help you. So Vechachamim Omrim Bezuvelo Bacheris. Now, the Chachamim say, we're okay with this one, but nothing else. Okay, now, question. We know that the Chachamim of these three quote-unquote experimental therapies, the Chachamim was happy with one of them. Which one? So, now, is it going on the pregnant woman? No. Because the pregnant woman is not controversial. The pregnant woman is not an experimental medication. The pregnant woman is a woman who's suffering a craving. And so, to feed her, it's a non-controversial position. It's one that was stated very clearly in the Mishnah. And when the Chachamim say, this is okay, it's not going on the pregnant woman, because that was never opened up for any kind of controversy. So, alalava sam. So it must be going on the medication when your mouth is inflamed. You have some sort of issue with your mouth and let's call it safidna. So you have some sort of issue with the mouth. It's on that the Chachamim said, we're okay with that experimental therapy. That's the one the Chachamim were fine with. Now we know it's that one. We know it can't be. The dog's liver, because if you go back to our Mishnah, we know the Chachamim argue with that one. So now it's just process of elimination. The pregnant woman, that's not controversial. The dog's liver, that is controversial. So in the Braisa, when the Chachamim said we're okay with what? So they're okay with with basically the tzafidna, right? What you and I would call scurvy. So they were fine with that. So shmamina. And so what we get from all this is that now the Rav Yochanan's usage of medication on Shabbos to treat the scurvy, it's not just Rebbe Masya's position. It is, in fact, also the Chachamim's position. Okay, that was a long discussion in the Gemara to get to a point, but here, okay, we got to the point. And Rav Ashi Amar Masis Nami Deka. Now, Rav Ashi says, I'll tell you what. You go back to our Mishnah, and you can actually see in the Mishnah, V'od Amar Rav Masya Ben Charash HaChoshesh B'Fiv Matin Lo Sam B'Shabbos V'Lo Pligi Rabban Aleha. And now when talking about the choshesh b'fif, someone who's got a pain in their mouth, so you're allowed to take medication even on Shabbos, so Chachamim don't argue with that. They misa the pliga Rabban Allah, le'arvinu v'lesinu v'lefligno Rabban b'seifa. So what should happen is that Rav Masya should present his therapies and the Chachamim, and then what the Mishnah should do is that the Chachamim should present the sheet of the Chachamim arguing on both of the therapies. The Mishnah does not present itself that way. That means that the scurvy, the safidna, is not controversial, and the Chachamim are not arguing with that position. Ad kan. That takes us to the end of that section of the Gemara. So for safidna, so Rav Yochanan believes that although it's right now located and isolated in the mouth, it's something where we can easily forecast that it's going to become a sakana. So you treat it even on Shabbos. The Rav Yochanan position that you treat it on Shabbos is not just limited to Shitas Rabbi Masya, but rather the Chachamim agree to that position. There are other arenas of therapies where the Chachamim say that's experimental. That's not been proven. That has not gone through clinical trials. So there are other therapies that the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Masya, not this one. Okay. We are picking up in the Gemara where we left off. Two dots. So, Mimnesha Safik Nefasha Su'lamali. So, Lamemra V'chol Safik Nefasha Doches HaShabbos. Okay, the Mishnah is really punctuating and making the point really strong. And the Gemara wants to know, why exactly does the Mishnah have to make the point so strong? So the Mishnah goes on to say that, you know, it's suffik nefashos, and then the Mishnah says, chol suffik nefashos dochas haShabbos. Anytime you have a suffik nefashos, it's going to override Shabbos. And what is the Mishnah coming to teach us? So the Gemara now explains. So lam lisula memer v'chol suffik nefashos dochas haShabbos, amar Rav Yehuda, amar Rav, lo suffik Shabbos zu belvad, amru ela, afilu suffik Shabbos acheres. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the chiddush, and that is, let's say it's not just suffik nefashos for this Shabbos, it's also suffik nefashos for the upcoming Shabbos as well. What does that mean? The Gemara explains through an example. Hechi dami, keep going. Dam du'ula tamne yame. So let's say that there was a treatment. The treatment is an 8-day treatment. And now it happens to be on Shabbos. And we're looking at an 8-day treatment. So I got this great idea. Meaning rather than start the treatment today, which means now that he's going to have to take this treatment not only for one Shabbos and violate one Shabbos, but he's also going to have to violate next Shabbos as well. I got this great idea. Why don't we start the 8-day treatment tonight? So that's exactly what the Gemara says. So it suggests, hey chidami, kagon damdula tamna yuma viyuma kama shabasa maude tema le'akev ad la'orta. Let's wait till tonight. Let's start the treatment tonight. Ki echidolo nechal ala tre shabasa. And now we won't have to violate two shabasim. If all we do is just postpone and delay treatment till tonight, so now we'll only be violating one Shabbos, and violating one Shabbos is certainly better than violating two Shabbosim. So kamash malan. So the chiddush is that no, we're going to start immediately. We're going to start right away, meaning that we're looking at a sakanas nefashos. If we're looking at sakanas nefashos, so treatment starts immediately, and you do not wait. We're going to be violating two Shabbosim. Okay, but for pikuach nefesh, you violate two Shabbosim. Tanya na mehachi, the Gemara quotes the Brisa supporting this as well. Mecham and chamel lechol b'Shabbos bein lahashko so. Bein lahavro so we're going to heat up water for a chol on Shabbos, whether it's he needs it for drinking, whether he needs it just for whatever other kinds of therapies that are involved. V'lo Shabbos u'bavad amru, v'lo Shabbos acheres, and not just for this Shabbos, but even if we know that it's going to continue into next Shabbos as well, that's fine. V'ein omer namtim lo Hashem yavri, and we don't say, well, why do we have to start therapy right away? Why don't we just wait till tonight? Maybe it'll get better. No, you start right away. Meaning once a person is in a possibility of being in a critical condition, so you start right away. And even if it means that we're going to be violating this Shabbos and next Shabbos, it doesn't matter. You just simply violate Shabbosim in order to save this person's life. Now, who's going to be the practitioner? So it's not going to be a non-Jew, and it's not going to be, now in our Gemara we have the word kusi, and the gon takes it out, and the gon replaces it with ketanim. So it's not going to be a non-Jew, and it's not going to be a katan, gedolei Yisrael, but rather it's going to be gedolei Yisrael. Now it's interesting, gedolei Yisrael, in context now, does not mean a gadol b'Torah. Meaning, yeah, a gadol shel Yisrael normally means a gadol shel b'Torah, but in context over here, gadol Yisrael just simply means he's going to be gadol, and he's going to be Yisrael. Meaning, right? Because look what it said beforehand. It's not done lo al yidei nachrim, meaning not a non-Jew, and lo al yidei ketanim, and not by minor. But rather, it's going to be gadol Yisrael. It's going to be gadol. It's going to be Yisrael. Now, it could also mean, by the way, in other words, there could be a double entendre in the Gemara, and it could also mean that you get a gadol. You get somebody who's a Talmid Chacham. It could also mean that as well, but just in terms of the simple pshat of the Gemara, it just simply means that it's a gadol and it's a Yisrael, right? And you look at the top Tosfos over here. It's a short Tosfos, and he writes, "I feel lahechad the efshar benachri." Mitzvah be Yisrael, right? Clearly, Tosfos understood it. Just a simple pshat. Meaning, let's say we can get a non-Jew to do so. Okay, no. In other words, when you're talking about pikuach nefesh and the opportunity to save a life, actually, mitzvah be Yisrael. Shami yis'atzal anachri v'lo yaseh v'yavo lidei sakana. Okay, fine, yeah. So that's the simple reading of the Gemara. Ve'inom rim yasu dvar malalu lo api nashim v'lo api kusim aval mitzarfim l'das acheres. And these things are not to be done not through non-Jews, not through women, but rather not through kusim. However, mitzarfin ladas acheres. Now, mitzarfin ladas acheres. So what exactly does that mean? So Rashi gives a pshat, a difficult pshat. But Rashi says a pshat in the Gemara. Kigon. Rashi writes, shnaim amrim tzarech u'shoshar mimein tzarech. So let's say two people says that he needs to eat. Again, we go back to our discussion that we had yesterday. Meaning that right now, is this person now in a state of sakana? So two people, meaning he and another doctor, say he needs to eat. Three people say he does not need to eat. Ain't sarich. The isha o kusi omrim sarich. And now a woman or a kusi says, no, he needs to eat. Mitzarfin le mehave pago paga. So that'll tip the scales at 3 and 3. V'safik nefashos sahakol, and safik nefashos are going to be mekel. Now I say this is a difficult shot because if you remember yesterday's daf was admittedly complicated. But yesterday's daf, what did we conclude yesterday? That once it's greater than one, so that's a kat, that's a group. And so it's a group against a group. So by financial assessment and financial appraisal, so we care about the size of the group. But when it comes to an appraisal of somebody's health, and you have a group saying one thing and a group saying another, it doesn't matter what the size of the group is. One group could be two, the other could be three. The one group could be two, the other could be 100. If two people say that he needs to eat, that was yesterday's conclusion. In fact, you go back to yesterday's daf, when Mar Bar Avash in yesterday's daf said, if he says that he should eat, so even if it's against 100 counter positions, so he's going to eat. So the Rashi over here admittedly is very difficult, and okay, so the Rashi is difficult, and I'm not the first one who made this observation. Take a look at the Bach right there on the Rashi, and I'm not going to go through the Bach inside, but the Bach points out that this Rashi is really difficult. Okay, so, but anyway, all that stated, but the point that the Mishnah is making is that when the Mishnah says kol safek nefashos, it means that even though we're forecasting that not only is it going to be violating this Shabbos, but it will be violating next Shabbos as well, it doesn't matter. If right now we gauge that he is in a state of suffix nefashos, so you treat him effective immediately, and even though it means that we're going to be violating this Shabbos and next Shabbos as well, okay, that's fine. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to treat him. Okay, that could also be. It could also be. But the point is that if the treatment is an 8-day treatment, it's a projected 8-day treatment, and if all we did was just wait a couple of hours till Shabbos ends, and that means that we can reduce the amount of chilul Shabbos, so the Gemara says, you could have entertained that thought, but that's exactly the Bryce's point. Don't entertain that thought and treat him effective immediately. Okay, once again, by the way, it goes back to a discussion that I touched on yesterday, and I'll mention again today. In other words, the Pekuach Nefesh. So is Shabbos Hutra or Dechuya? So again, this is a major discussion, and now is not a great time to weigh both sides of this argument. But our Gemara over here certainly sounds like it's Dechuya, meaning that the Gemara over here talks about the entertaining Ahava, meaning that we should wait till after Shabbos, meaning, again, it's he's in a state of suffering that Fashto Sodon. But where's that Ahava Amina coming from that we should wait till after Shabbos? And we should reduce the amount of Shabbosim that we're going to violate, one Shabbos as opposed to two Shabbosim. So certainly just from the tone of our Gemara, it certainly sounds like our Gemara is siding on the Dechuya as opposed to Hutra. Okay. Tan Rabbanan. Mefachim pikuach nefesh b'Shabbos ve'hazariz harizim eshubach. So one is allowed to dig through rubble on Shabbos in order to hopefully salvage and save somebody from the rubble. And ve'hazariz harizim eshubach. And if you're the first responder, so that it's praiseworthy. So, and you don't need to get any kind of permission from Beistin. So, haketzad, ra, tinok shenaf aliyam. So the Gemara gives a number of examples. So let's say you see a child who falls into the water. So, parish metsuna ma'aleu, vazar zarez meshubach. So, cast a net in order to get the baby out. Vein sarach li tovishus mi Beistin. Va'afagav decide kavre. And even though some fish are going to get trapped in the net, doesn't matter. Meaning that right now you're involved in pikuach nefesh, and any collateral chilul Shabbos, it doesn't matter. So, Rad Tinuk Shanafel Abor, another example, a baby fell into a pit. So, Oker Chulya Umaleu. So, what you're going to do now is that you're going to dig a hole in order to get him out. Vazari Zariz Meshubach, Vain Sarkli Torishos, Mi Basin Afagav, the Matakin Darga. And even though, but basically you're digging steps to get down into the pit. It doesn't matter. In other words, right now you're involved in Pikuach Nefesh. Rashi Anin Ala Dels Bifnei Tinok. Let's say the baby locks himself in a room. So Shovra Matsia. So what you're going to do is you're going to break the door in order to get the baby out. Vazari Zariz Meshubach. And again, if you're a first responder, good. So be a first responder. Vein Sarach L'Tov Rishos Mi Beis Din. And you don't need to ask permission. Ve'afagav Decham In the Mechavin Limit Bar B'Shipi Mechavin. And even though what you're going to do is you're going to be breaking the wood, and the nevertheless, you still need to be a first responder. Let's say there's a fire. So what you're going to do is you're going to put out the fire on Shabbos. This is now going to be our fourth example of being a first responder. So, if you are a first responder, great. You don't have to ask, permission. Don't ask permission. And even though over here you're making basically coals and putting out the fire, okay, v'tzricha. And the Gemara points out now that although we seem to be giving so many different examples, all making the same point, and it seems to be a little bit redundant, but the Gemara says it's not so redundant, that actually all these cases are necessary. You see, in the river, it could easily argue that he's going to be cast away. In other words, the current is going to take him away. And so that's why the Brisa starts off with that case. I can understand the need to be a first responder and don't ask any questions and just right away look to save the child. But in the pit, you know he's not going anywhere. In other words, you know he'll be there until after Shabbat. So again, just a havamina. The idea that we could have entertained the idea that maybe just wait till after Shabbat. So don't. That's why we need the second example. Now in the pit, he's really scared. But if the baby's locked on the baby, if he's locked on the other side of the door, so basically what you could do is maybe you can roll some nuts under the door, have him play with the nuts. Okay, so, and he won't be so terrified and traumatized as if he was, being basically down in the pit. So tzricha, that's why we need that case as well. So mechaben umafsikin lamali. So the Gemara says, now as far as the next case is concerned, why do I need the next case? All right, so you know what? The two dots will stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow in terms of why we need the next case as well. Okay, it takes us on to the question of numbers and palga. Okay, we'll pause over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow. In the meantime, however, let's now quickly review and recap our day today. Okay, we talked about the wild dog, the rabid dog, being bitten by the rabid dog. So it happens to be that in our mission, it's a controversial treatment of after being bitten by the dog, taking the liver, cooking the liver, and eating the liver, right? Some real proto-inoculation being described. But however, it was experimental. So the Gemara started off today by talking about all the mechanics of a rabid dog, how to become a wild dog, and how do you kill it, and what happens if it rubs up against you, and what happens if it bites you, and all the various treatments that you should do for those circumstances. Good. That was the first part of today's daf. Next part of today's daf, tzafidna. So I'll translate it as scurvy, even though it's, you know, it may be correct, it may not be correct. Whatever, it doesn't matter. The point is that you're bleeding from your gums and you treat it. And we learned not only do you treat it, but Rav Yochanan learned, first of all, from a matronisa, he learned what exactly is the right treatment. She had the right formula, and he got it out of her. And not only did he get it out of her, but he made that information public information. So issues intellectual property. So that was a big part of today's daf. And again, we're nowhere near concluding, but if you would like to use our Gemara as evidence of the fact that there is no such thing as intellectual property, and if you get a hold of intellectual property, you can share with other people. Okay. And the Torah does not believe in intellectual property. What I'm saying is not absolute, but... Okay, good. So our Gemara certainly has a position on it, but it's not the only position. And again, it's a really big topic, and certainly you would use our Gemara as part of the discussion. That's certainly the case. Anyway, that's number one. And number two, Rav Yochanan treated himself with the tzafidna even on Shabbos. And the treating of the tzafidna on Shabbos, and the Gemara spent a long time. Pei Dalam Ad Aleph all the way to Pei Dalam Ad Beis. This idea that Rav Yochanan feels that that he's a chola and it's a sakana and he's going to use a treatment that presumably is a controversial treatment, but when all is said and done, the Gemara concluded it's not a controversial treatment. Rav Masya ben Charesh does have a couple of controversial treatments. This is not one of them. This is the kind of treatment that even the Chachamim would agree is a proven treatment that you can do. And so Rav Yochanan operated even within the Shita of the Chachamim, not just the position of Rav Masya on this Safidna. Finally, our last topic of today is the Mishnah says that any Suffolk Nefashos, you're going to be Mechal Shabbos. What do you mean, any Suffolk Nefashos? So the Gemara said that even if it means that we're going to have to Mechal al two Shabbosim, meaning that if we start treatment today and it's an eight-day course, so you start immediately. Are you going to be violating two Shabbosim? Yeah. That's exactly the point of the Mishnah. We're talking about Suffolk Nefashos. By Suffolk Nefashos, you start treating effective immediately, even though it means that we're going to be mechalal tu shabbosim. And then the Mishnah says that in the case of a Suffolk Nefashos, so you need to be a first responder. Don't subcontract this to anybody else. Not to a child, not to a nachri. You should do it yourself. A gadol should be Yisrael. Again, in the context of the Gemara, it just simply means an adult. And a Jew. Even out of context, it means the Gadol Shebi Yisrael means, right, you're a big Talmid Chacham, good, you're the one that should be involved in the Chilul Shabbos in order to save somebody's life. And finally, we had four different examples of a first responding, cases where he fell in the river or he was in a pit, or he was locked, behind the door on Shabbos, or it was a fire. So all these examples that are given, why every one of these examples? So far, we explained the need for examples 1, 2, and even number 3. We still have more to go. Okay, Adkan.